Lord, as we come to learn together from your word this morning, open our hearts and minds to be receptive to what you have to say to us, to be expectant of your Spirit's work within us, and joyful in the knowledge that you have revealed yourself fully in your Son. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Women who go to church more than once a week live longer than those who do not, according to a new study. Thank you, Bob. Researchers at Harvard University's Public Health Graduate School found that frequent churchgoers lived on average 5 months longer than those who never attended religious services. They were 33% less likely to die over a 16-year period. That was the length of their study. It may not be the most theologically sound reason to come to church, but it does certainly shine a positive light on the whole experience, at least for women. Medical research aside, it does seem, doesn't it, that the British public needs some convincing to what the merits are of meeting together on a Sunday. A report by the Church of England, published in January this year, revealed that average weekly church attendance is now less than two-thirds of the level that it was 50 years ago. It's now around 765,000 people, which is less than one in every 10 people. It seems there are no end of alternative Sunday offerings available to tickle the fancy. And for the most part, they centre either around family outings and activities, or sport, or shopping. Football figures very highly across the whole age spectrum, as does one-day cricket, rugby, golf, and then there's running, anything and everything from 5K through to a marathon. Outside of sport, there is apparently the most popular Sunday family activity is shopping. And with the advent of Sunday trading and the growth in retail parks and out-of-town shopping centres, it's become something of a national pastime. So church is now just one more in a range of social activities on offer at the weekend, judged by its entertainment value rather than by its spiritual worth. Well, we are on week three of our Back to Basics series. We started by looking at prayer, seeing it as the means by which we both build a relationship with God through persistence in prayer and how we deepen that relationship with him. Last week, we looked at the Bible and about submitting our lives to it, and that's the way in which God, through the Holy Spirit, shapes our lives and makes us more like Jesus. So today we come to our third installment, and our focus this morning is, why should we be meeting together as church? And before we do that, we're going to hear from God's word as Emma comes to read. Yes.
Today's reading can be found on page 1208 of your pew Bibles. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Before our reading, I mentioned those statistics from the Church of England survey on weekly attendance. But there have been many other surveys done over the years as to why people don't come to church. And survey after survey revealed that the general public think of church as boring, old-fashioned, out of touch, cold, uncomfortable, and irrelevant. And sadly, that includes many who might otherwise call themselves Christians. So the question that we are asking ourselves today is, what is so important about meeting together as church? Does it really matter whether we come or not? What is it that should drive us as church to make meeting together a priority instead of any other Sunday leisure activity? And the answers are in verses 24 and 25 from our passage from Hebrews, if you still have it open. It's on page 1208 if you want to follow it. So verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Quite simply, when we meet together as church, we are doing things that cannot realistically be done under any other circumstances. Because the God who's created us is a God of relationship. And since he's created us in his own image, he wants us to be in relationship with him and with those that he has created. And there are some things that you simply can't do alone if you are to thrive in that relationship with God. And this is where the church comes into its own. As a church, we are strengthened, cared for, and empowered. And I want to look at each of those aspects of our ministry towards one another this morning. So we're going to begin with how we are strengthened in the faith. But you all know it is a sad truth that if you want to be fit, you have to exercise. And not just once or twice as the mood takes us, but regularly and consistently. Only in that way can we build up the strength and the stamina that we need for the long haul. Well, it's exactly the same thing with our faith. If we want to continue to grow as disciples, deepening and strengthening our faith, we have to keep up the training. And that's effectively what we've been looking at already over the past 2 weeks. Building our relationship with God through persistence in prayer and deepening our understanding of God and his purposes through us through regularly reading our Bibles. Now, of course, we can do these things on our own, exercising our spiritual muscles, as it were, by praying and reading the Bible at home, on the bus, on holiday, or wherever. But if what you are training for is a team event, then there is only so far that you can get doing it on your own. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus asks the disciples who the people think he is, and Peter says, "You are Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And just after that, Jesus' response is, "When I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." The original Greek word which Jesus uses, which we now think of as, we translate as church, is actually ecclesia. We get it ecclesiastical from it. It means an assembly or a congregation. And that in itself comes from two words, ek, meaning out of, and lesia, or ecclesia, which means to be set apart or to be called. And so when you put them together, the church are a people who are called out of or set apart to work together to achieve the purpose to which Jesus called it, and that is to make disciples in the world. And as Phil said earlier, that's something that we mainly do out there, but it's what we equip ourselves for in here. We are a team, and we must spend time training together, learning from one another, just as the disciples did under the guidance and the coaching of Jesus. Just as much as we must spend time exercising our spiritual muscles when we are on our own. What form does this training take? Well, what do we do when we meet together each week? We declare what it is that we believe, who it is that we trust to give meaning and purpose to our lives. And as we sing together, as we pray together, as we listen to and unpack God's word, we are entering into the presence of the living God. And that's the gift of knowing Jesus. And so we have in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. You see, before Jesus, nobody could approach God in the holy place in the temple except the high priest. And he could only do so one day a year on the Day of Atonement. And he could only do so by offering a sacrifice of innocent blood to atone for his own sin. See, entering into the presence of the living God is a dangerous place. Nobody else could enter into God's presence and live. And the way into that place in the temple was barred by a thick and heavy curtain separating the Holy of the Holies from the rest of the temple. But when Jesus came to earth, when he died on the cross, that curtain was torn in two, both physically and metaphorically. Jesus' perfect sacrifice made it possible for all of us to enter into God's presence safely, washed in his blood. Anyone who receives him as Lord and Savior can now come directly into the presence of God. In verse 21, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. That's what we do when we come to worship. We meet together as his body, the church, to draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, you might say, yeah, but I can do that when I'm on my own at home. And it's true. Lord is God and God is everywhere. But by meeting and worshipping together here in church, in ones or twos, in our home, in our groups, we are entering into God's presence together. We are holding one another accountable for the truth of the message that we share. As we sing and pray together, as we look at the Bible together, we are stronger together. We also gain strength by caring for one another. As it says in verse 25, let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We have this great privilege of access to God now through Jesus. But the best is yet to come. So we need to keep going. We need to hold on to what God has promised and living in the light of it. And that isn't always going to be easy. The Bible teaches us, we know that as Christians, we will face opposition. We will struggle with apathy. We will face temptation. Life is going to throw all sorts of stuff at us. And sometimes we can get tired of doing the right thing and our love for Jesus can begin to go a little cold. And that's why it's such good news that we don't have to persevere on our own. We are part of God's family. We are all on the same journey, together, surrounded by others who will spur us on, who will encourage us to keep going, who will share the struggle with us. There's a story told about a minister early last century. He had a member of his congregation who he noticed was coming a little less and less frequently to church, and eventually he stopped coming altogether. The man actually invited the minister to come round and have a chat with him. And so he asked him, well, why have you stopped coming to church? And the parishioner said, well, I've noticed over the weeks, each time I came, my faith was becoming a little drier, a little weaker. Well, it was a cold day when they were meeting together, so they were sitting in front of a coal fire. And they sat for silence for a moment, contemplating it. And then the minister reached out, he grabbed the tongs and he took a coal from the fire, from the heart of the fire, and he put it on the stone hearth. And then they both watched it as the flames slowly died and the glow from the coal faded away until it was just a coal piece, a lump of coal. And then the minister, after a pause, he took the tongs and he picked the coal up and he put it back into the heart of the fire. And within seconds, it was aglow with red and orange light. We have been given to one another to encourage each other and to help the fire burn brightly. How do we do that? We are one church. We are made up of lots of different people. Just look around this morning. Different ages, different sexes, different jobs, different personalities, different skills, different giftings. I don't know what it's like to be a Christian working in a school or in retail. I don't know what it's like to be retired or seeking employment. I don't know what it's like to be a carer. But there are people here who do, who can empathize with our concerns and share our joys, who can teach us and encourage us through their varied experience and wisdom. That's why we need each other. Building the sorts of relationships that encourage discipleship in one another takes time. And if we're honest, it takes more time than we have over in the parish centre over a cup of coffee after church. And that's why belonging to a home study group or meeting together in twos and threes or a Bible study group, that's why they're such great things. Time to get to know each other. Time to deepen our understanding of one another. Time to grow together. Time to pray for one another. Now there are a number of such groups available here at Christ Church, and if you're not yet part of a home group or a Bible study group, then do speak to one of us. Carol's in charge of home groups, and we would love to find a home for you in one of our groups. You see, caring for one another, it's actually one of the most powerful forms of witness that we have as church. When we offer one another encouragement, when we support each other in times of difficulty and crisis, when we carry burdens that might otherwise overwhelm someone, we are making a clear statement that we are following in Jesus' footsteps, putting the needs of others before our own. It's countercultural, and it's very attractive. Caring for one another is something that it needs every member of a church to get involved in. With the best will in the world, if it was left to our leadership team, or the pastoral care committee, or the prayer ministry team, there would still be people and needs that fall through the cracks. Each one of us here is called to be God's eyes and ears, God's heart of love to the other members of this church. We are called to make sure that no one is ignored or left to struggle alone. And that brings us to empowered. Again, looking at verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, there are very many Bible passages that talk about loving one another and doing good deeds. But if you listen to that, there was something slightly different about that verse. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The emphasis is on why it is important to meet together as God's people. The verse is about promoting a spirit of love and service within the whole community of faith. But even more than that, it's about being proactive, giving time, attention, and energy to ensure that happens. It's about equipping one another for service, ensuring we make the most of our skills and resources to meet the needs both of the church and the community that we serve. And none of this we can do alone. It was that sort of vision, because of that, that we became involved in Food Bank, in Family Pack, in TLC. It's the reason why SOS was set up, to reach out and make those connections with the parents and children in our church school. That Toddler Group was set out to meet parents and carers of preschoolers. But it doesn't end there. If these things are to continue, we need to be supporting, equipping and resourcing them. And not just settling for the status quo, but looking to encourage and empower others within our church family to get involved so that these ministries and others can grow and we can develop our witness to the community. Because the greatest love we can show anyone is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, to bring them into his family. And there's a real sense of urgency about this. Look again at verses 24 and 25. So let us consider how we may spur one another on. There's a dynamic there. And all the more as you see the day of God approaching. See, one day Jesus will return. If this life was all there was, then it wouldn't matter. But we know it isn't. Jesus' return is actually now nearly an hour sooner, closer than when we first met together this morning. One day we will all meet Jesus face to face. And we need to be ready for that day. Not only for ourselves, but we need to be ready to bring others along, to see that we have helped others to know that that day is coming. Why? That's why it's so important to meet with one another, so that we can help each other live for him out there in the world where he has put us, and to reach out to others with the gospel. Phil mentioned all the current upheaval and political and economic crises that we have following the EU referendum. Now, all of that might seem to loom very large in our minds as well as on our screens and in our papers. But it actually shows us one of the greatest values that we have of being church together as God's people. Because when we meet here, we recognize, we remember that we are in reality in submission to a far greater authority than either London or Brussels. And recognizing that ultimate truth helps to lift us, supporting and encouraging one another beyond the pain or the elation of our personal politics, helps ground us, as Archbishop Justin Welby has said, against building barriers rather than bridges. Let me read you just a little of the statement he made on the day the results came in. As citizens of the United Kingdom, whatever our views during the referendum campaign, we must now unite in a common task to build a generous and forward-looking country, contributing to human flourishing around the world. We must remain hospitable and compassionate, builders of bridges and not barriers. Many of those living alongside us and among us as neighbours, friends and colleagues come from overseas, and some will feel a deep sense of insecurity. We must respond in our communities by offering reassurance, by cherishing our wonderfully diverse society, and by reaffirming the unique contribution of each and every one. As a church, we are in a unique position to be a visible beacon in our community, to unity in spite of difference, to the power of working together, to what it means to share pain and joy, to offer hope and encouragement, to be looking to a brighter future by serving, encouraging, and loving as Christ himself first served, encouraged, and loved us. God doesn't just want us to come to church. He wants us to be church, to be his people in relationship with him and with each other. We grow in faith as we play a part in helping others to grow. We are strengthened as we teach and encourage one another in the gospel truth. And we are strengthened as we meet together to pray and meet with God in worship. We are cared for through all the ups and downs of life, and together we transform the world through acts of love and kindness, and by sharing the good news that God wants to be in relationship with the people that he has made. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for the bundle of experiences that we call life, with all its ups and downs, with all its joys and complexities. We thank you that you never intended for us to journey along life's path on our own. You created us to be open to you and to each other. And from the first, that was always your intention, that we should live in trust and fellowship with each other. We know that you've planted within us a restlessness that cannot be satisfied by our rebellious nature, which is always seeking to put ourselves first, our desires above all else. Thank you that you never give up on us. You're gently, patiently teaching us what it means to be aware of our need of you and of one another. We thank you that in Jesus we have been reconciled to you. Through his life, his death, his resurrection, you've given us the good news that barriers between us can be removed, that our walls of division can be broken down. Through his will and the Spirit's power, we have been created one people, one church in his name, called to strengthen, care, and equip one another for loving service and witness in the world, so that all people might know the saving truth of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are the people of God. We thank you for the fellowship, the joy and the hope that we share in Jesus Christ. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, we may be enabled to live for Christ and to speak his name. For we ask in his most precious name. Amen.